that's what we try to do with these cameras. And then the next thing about them is we mark them all with Bloomington Police. They're labeled. If you've been down to the park and you've seen those cameras up there, you've seen some of the pictures in the newspapers, you know, we label them. We're not hiding those. And that moves into that idea of deterrence. Now, we know that that doesn't work very well, but we do hope that as an additional side benefit to this is that if people know some places under video surveillance, that perhaps they won't commit those crimes there. And while that doesn't work 100% of the time, and there are a lot of studies on deterrence, general and specific, and whether it works or doesn't work, we've got the cameras up anyway. We might as well see if we can get an extra benefit from that by making it very clear what they are and why they're there.
So is there any anecdotal or, you know, factual evidence that when you move the, you know, you have this deterrent in the downtown area, does the problems move to another area?
Well, we've seen problems move across in the history of policing. As we put more focus on a certain area or attention on an area, whether it be the north side of town, you know, when we've got vehicle break-ins, or as we're going to see during the Thanksgiving break, we put a lot of emphasis in some of those student housing neighborhood areas where we know people are gone, and they tend to be victimized by burglaries. We'll spend a lot of attention there. We know we can push those criminals around. We know that we're able to move them by our presence. And again, adding these video cameras is something that we hope that might have an effect. And if they moved them someplace else, that's where our data is going to show where it pops up. And these cameras are movable. So if all of a sudden we put these cameras up and we start seeing that we're not having any of these problems over here anymore, we've kind of solved our issue in that area. But now we've got something in a neighborhood on the east side of town and it's causing us some problems, we can move them over there. And so they give us the capabilities to move things around and provide just a little extra presence, if you will, and that's kind of the idea behind it.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning, checking in from the Bloomington Police Department. And the money from this grant, how does that work? Because once you bring in cameras, now you'll have, as you mentioned, extra cameras in extra places. You'll record more video. To go back and look at these videos, do you have enough manpower if that's the case, if these things are really working? How does this grant work? And
where does it come from? Is it federal, state, county?
That's a great question that I don't have the answer in front of me. I would have to look up the Burn JAG grant. I believe that it is a federal grant, and it is based on crime numbers. So we share part of that with the county. So the Sheriff's Department gets part of that money, and we get part of that money. So I don't honestly know off the top of my head exactly whether it's a state or federal grant, but we do get it every year. It's kind of a reoccurring grant. And we don't have – so the use of these cameras are purely as investigative tools, so we only go and pull that video out when we get that complaint, when we get that case or that crime that's occurred. That we want to see that, we go and we'll pull it out then. So because it's not constantly monitored, I don't have to have anybody watching those, and I don't have to add any manpower to it. And my investigators are able to reach in and go to those dates and pull that information out on an as-needed basis.
How long do you keep it? How long do you keep those videos?
It stays for 30 days.
Okay.
It's stored for 30 days by state law. So at the end of 30 days, it's going to be recycled out, and that's all part of state law, public information laws with regards to how long we're going to hold that information.
So this is one tool that you're using. I know that for a while we saw a fairly heavy police presence down at People's Park. That seems to have gone away, and it seems like maybe you don't need it anymore. So what is the next step in trying to, you know, clean up the downtown?
Well, just continuing to work with the community. We worked really close with the downtown business owners. We worked close with some of the community neighbors down there and tried to bring in as much information as they can give us about what's going on, and then we'll move things around as we can to try to help and assist where those problems crop up. And we have had a lot of success over the summer, but we also know that based on the effort that we put into it, we're going to have to continue to do that. So as it looks like some of those patrols might have dwindled in certain areas, you might see them actually pop up and be extended in others. But again, the whole idea is to kind of continue to work on some of the behavior issues we had in the downtown area over the summer, and it's all about criminal behavior. And we've been pretty effective with that so far,
Well,
but we know we can't rest.
I know that one of the solutions that they were talking about for the whole situation going on with panhandling and some of the homeless vagrancy kind of issues was to open up the Shalom Center for the weekend. So
yes.
Now that that's happened, are there the neighbors in that area were really worried. And I'm curious as to what has been your impression to how that has either resolved itself or maybe it is still an issue.
Well, I think that it's something that's going to be an issue that we're going to deal with for a long time, and I don't necessarily mean bad or good. It's just a change in the way that they've been providing some services, and we've been working with those neighborhoods, and we're going to continue to work with and be receptive to and talk to those neighborhoods about their needs and try to figure out ways in which we can help them if and when problems pop up. And, you know, the Shalom Center extending their hours and providing some of those services to people in need are obviously great, but we've got to make sure that criminal behavior doesn't crop up because of it. So far, I can't say that I've seen any data at all that would show us anything, you know, one way or the other as to whether this has been terribly effective or whether it's caused any serious problems. So I think we're going to have to bear the course a little bit longer to see exactly how this plays out.
I know that yesterday we took a drive around downtown, probably mid-afternoon, and it was raining, it was cold. And I was kind of surprised that more people weren't taking advantage of the fact that they could be out of that weather and be someplace safe like the Shalom Center. I mean, you work with the people who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea why they choose to hang out in the rain and the cold and sit on the sidewalk instead of going someplace that is safe and warm and not in the weather?
Well, you know, our downtown resource officers work really closely with all the people in need of services downtown, whether they be those experiencing homelessness or addiction issues or any of those kinds of things. Our guys work really closely with the various social workers. And, you know, the information we get back is that a lot of people are looking for help, and we provide them with those services and they get that help. And then there are some people that, for whatever reason, don't want help and they don't seek it. They don't ask for it. They don't look it out. And so they end up sometimes placing themselves in dangerous situations that we have to deal with. But, you know, other times they're doing their thing, and it's hard to answer that question as to why they wouldn't take benefit of some of those services. But a lot of them won't take benefit of any of the services. And then there are others that use those services to the fullest extent. So a wide variety of people, a wide variety of backgrounds and behaviors. Some of them are there for mental health issues. Some of them are there for addiction issues. Some of them are there for economic issues. And it's just a wide variety of people down there. And we've been happy enough and lucky enough, I guess, with the programs with our downtown resource officers. Is we've got officers that have gotten to know a lot of these people very well. And they know exactly what their issues and problems are. And we can provide them help when they need it. But, you know, sometimes we also know that they don't need any help and they're not wanting or seeking any help. And our guys know that as well. So it's been a great program for us. And I think just continuing to get to know the community and get to understand on that personal level why they're doing the things that they're doing sometimes helps us a lot.
Captain Steve Kelms is our guest this morning. How was Cookie with a Cop? Let's get to the food.
You know,
let's get to the important things here.
That was a lot of fun. We went over to Jill's house, and it was not really a public thing, you know, because we were over there at Jill's house. It was more for the residents there and the daycare there. We just had a lot of fun. The residents made a bunch of cookies, and they've got a daycare there, which we were able to spend some time with and bring one of our cars out. And, you know, it was just so much fun being out there and hanging out and continuing to do all the stuff that we do. You know, we followed up with such a really successful Halloween. We were out at the College Mall at that trick-or-treat event, and wow.
Yeah, where it was heated.
Yes, the weather was terrible outside, but it was beautiful inside that mall, and it was absolutely crowded with kids, and we had just a lot of fun there, and with our Luckies helping us with the Halloween Coffee with the Cop, and then following up at Jill's house with Cookies with the Cop was just a lot of fun. And that, I think that's the stuff I enjoy the most, when we continue to get out into the community and meet people and just say hi. That's what I really enjoy doing.
Well, good. Now, what's next? You got Thanksgiving coming up. You've got Christmas right around the corner.
Our big one, I tell you, at this time of year, our big thing is is lock it or lose it. Got to get people to lock their stuff up. You know, we're going to see a lot of people leave next week for that Thanksgiving vacation. A lot more people travel for the holidays than they ever have before, and we know that's going to be followed up by Christmas as well. And unfortunately, that is a great time for criminals to go out and commit crimes like burglaries and thefts. And people, particularly students who haven't had a lot of experience, you know, being in the adult world, they're away from home maybe for the first times, and they're excited to get home, and they walk out and they leave doors unlocked and windows unlocked and, expensive items in plain view or even outside. And when they come back, those things are stolen. So we want to ask people and remind them to just take some really basic precautions. You're going to be gone for a period of time. Lock your doors. If you have the dusk to dawn lights or outside lights, those are fantastic to leave on. Close those curtains and blinds so that people can't easily see inside, see that no one's there, or see that there's expensive things to steal. We still see almost 50% of our burglaries are to houses that are unlocked. And we know that if we
easy
can,
pickings.
Affect that. Yeah, and that's if we can change that. And you have a lot of people that we see this with thefts from vehicles as well, but we also see it sometimes with burglaries. Well, they're going to get in anyway. I'll just leave it unlocked. But criminals come back to the same areas over and over again.
They're like raccoons.
Absolutely. And people that leave their doors unlocked, their cars unlocked, that neighborhood is going to be victimized over and over and over again. So
let me ask you a question.
Lock stuff up. Yeah.
We know this is happening on an annual basis, whether it's Christmas break, spring break, fall break, whatever it is.
But you have a new group of children in here each year.
That's exactly right. And we have we need to remind them of that. I couldn't agree more. We have all these cameras and things and such and going on, and we hear the jails about as crowded as it can get. Where are we going, man? Where are we going to...
Wow, that's a huge question for society, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I want to help all of society, but I'm more selfish about our society. It just seems like, I don't know. I don't know how to phrase this. I know it's not your job to quote unquote lock them up, but man, oh man, we're not heading in the right direction, are we?
Well, it's very, very interesting. The steps that have been taken to, and this is a big argument, but I mean, the steps that have been taken to decriminalize some of the laws in Indiana to keep the prison populations down for having nonviolent offenders in prison, unfortunately, sometimes does not address career criminals who commit crimes just like the rest of us go to work. And they understand the crimes that they commit and the levels that they commit them, in which they don't end up ever doing prison time, yet they still are a vast drain on society. So there's a lot of real hard questions to look at, and it's difficult to say where we're going, but you're absolutely right in your observance that we have some issues and problems that seem to just go on every year that we need to take a look at and see what kind of real serious ways we can solve it. And they're going to be community solutions. They're not going
yeah
to
this isn't
solutions.
Silver bullet. This isn't a grant that's going to fix all this. This isn't going to be a flyer about the locking your doors. It has to be all of it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And we try to do every day what we can do to protect the community, keep the community safe, but at a certain point we need the community's help too. And those are the types of conversations that a lot of our community outreach are designed to start having, and programs like this designed to start having those conversations, and hopefully we can just continue them on and figure out ways in which we can all get together and help some of the problems we're seeing.
Well, hopefully you being on here will remind everyone to remind those people who are out there, that they know young people who are in the community, to remind them to lock up and not give easy access to the criminals, and hopefully it will at least discourage the ones who like the easy
pickings.
Yeah, pickings.
And I guess, and I don't want to make this, because it's not your fault, but, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but the extra deterrence isn't deterring anything, in my opinion, so I'm not sure if that's the best use of resources, but if that's the resource you can use, that's different. We're not going to speak to you till the Monday after Thanksgiving, so we'd like you to have a fantastic Thanksgiving. We hope that your crew isn't very busy over the Thanksgiving week, that everybody's adhering to being a normal human being instead of stealing, robbing, and doing everything else, and we'll get caught up on the 27th when none of our pants fit.
Well, thank you very much.
We're stretchy
clothes.
You guys
have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Okay.
Hey, we always appreciate
your
time.
Have a wonderful day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Captain Steve Kellums from the Bloomington Police Department. He gets it. There's no other way to say it. He gets it.